This presentation was recorded at the 2017 Christian School Administration Institute held in Zurich, Ontario. For more information about the Institute, contact Philip Horst at philip.horst.79@gmail.com. That's philip.horst.79@gmail.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a school board member's wife's workshop. I just got done telling somebody this morning, as long as I don't have to speak in a mic, and then they clipped it on me. Is it working? Okay, thanks. My name is Verna Yancey. My husband is James Yancey. We are from Teeswater area. We live on a dairy and a sheep farm. And we attend the Shekinah Church. Ever hear of that? Because it's really new. We meet in a United Church in Mildmay at this time until the new church and school are built in 2017, Lord willing, which is closer to Newstead. This is a new church extension from Cedarville. And I'm a homemaker, and we have five children. Our two oldest girls are married and have children, and we have three boys at home, another one getting married in June. And our youngest is 15, so we're almost off the school scene, so to say, but it's still close to my heart. Raise your hand if you are presently on the school board. Lots. If you have been in the past, maybe you're not now, put up your hand. Lots more hands. Now put up your hand if you've never been on the school board. Okay, you probably have good reasons. You might be a minister's wife, or you might be the teacher's wife. Okay, that's interesting. I can see we all have plenty of input and advice and experience for our discussions this morning. We were on the school board 6 years at Cedarville as trustee and vice chairman and chairman, and approximately 2 years and another school board. I also taught 3 years. How many of you have been teachers? Let me raise your hands again. Quite a number of you. Presently we are with Murray Horst, Murray and Emma Horst, on a school board for a small school called the Belmore Home School. We're on that school board. It's kind of a permanent thing. That's a long story if you know anything about our Belmore homeschool. But immediately I have to say, I wasn't asked to have this topic because I was some extraordinary school board member's wife. No way. I've observed other school board members' wives doing a much more excellent job than I have or did. But we're here together today to inspire each other and share our experiences, good and bad, and have some helpful discussions on the role of school board wives. It all began probably, either your husband came home late for supper or late at night, depends when you have your meetings. Let's say it was at night and you sleepily ask him, so what's new? He cautiously maybe says, he declares, I'm on the school board. Well, wake up, wife, because you are too. And this is where we want to consider, will we be a helpmeet, which means a helper, partner? Is that what we want to be? Or a hindrance? And a hindrance is something that interferes with progress. It delays. It prevents from acting. Deters. An obstacle. But we don't want to be any of that. Colossians 3:23 gives us good instructions. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. My first part of the workshop here is called vision. First, we all together, church and teachers and parents, we need a vision. And a vision means the ability to anticipate and make provision for future events. foresight. In some ways, we do have it easy. We heard of that this morning. Our Christian schools are a result of someone else's hard-won vision. A vision that wasn't afraid of relentless effort and sacrifice so children could be taught by godly teachers in a Christian environment. Fathers and grandfathers of ours, and I remember mine, they were willing to risk the farm and face opposition and find teachers, find curriculum, which wasn't near as available as it is today, and overextend themselves to start something new. The Christian Day School movement is over 50 years old, and yet it still requires vision. Vision to maintain our schools with time and money and support. Vision to raise up teachers who value children and their spiritual and emotional, social, and academic development. It was said back then, it will be impossible. That they really did say that. Well, where there is no vision, the people perish, it says in Proverbs 29:18. And it was blessed by God. You can all just admit it was blessed by God, this whole Christian Day School. And we are deeply thankful for the Christian schools today. Christian schools are a vision and a mission and a passion, all wrapped up in one. Nurturing tender hearts and filling young minds with character-building education for a group of other people's children calls for nothing less than far-reaching perspectives, meaning a distant view. And without vision, the work becomes drudgery, the needs overwhelming, the schedule too demanding. It's so easy to catch the vision at Christian Day, Education Day, or Christian School Administration Institutes. Lofty ideals and goals are appealingly presented, and we meet other wives and share and go home encouraged. Our commitment to the vision is strengthened. But when school board work interferes with our plans, on our family life, our social life, we can quickly resent school board work in our hearts. If your husband has something of this passion and vision for the worth of children and the importance of their education, stand behind him and embrace it as your own. Be a supporter. Be the kind of wife that frees your husband to live his life with vision and purpose. As I studied this workshop, I realized that this workshop could apply to building committees, wives. Have you ever been on a building committee for church and school? A minister's wife, I felt that it applies to them too. And teachers' wives, and just wives in general. And as they say, that the teacher gets more out of a lesson like Sunday school than the class does, I learned more about being a supportive wife than you will today. And hopefully I'll put it into practice in everyday living. Meetings to plan around your social life, phone calls galore, finishing the chores, happens in our case, putting children to bed all by yourself, late homecomings, tired husbands next day, etc. That's all part of being on the school board. Take courage, this too shall pass, as my mother-in-law always said. So my willingness to tackle these tasks alone at times, yet always with the help of Christ, enables him to focus in giving his best to the vision and the task God gave him. Let's be thankful our husbands aren't leaving for some less noble activity. Remember that. Not just going to sports or bars or clubs and things like that. We must show our support. And support is actively performed. It's not just saying, I'll support my husband. It's more than passively stated. It's active. And what's inside will come out. We will be tested in the unexpected delays. Did you ever have that emergency school board meeting after Bible study? and inconveniences. And the "it's about me" attitude will show in our body language, in our silence, or our speech. We should watch ourselves for these little cues. Our husbands won't miss them. Sometimes I find my husband knows more me better than I know myself. Keep a sense of humor in your comments positive. Excuse me, I've been healthy all winter until this week, then I got a cold. That's life. Your husband gleans information from your expression and your voice inflection and general attitude. While he isn't a mind reader, he has no problem figuring out where he fits on our priority list. A man who is joyfully honored at home has greater potential for success and job satisfaction away from home. More is caught than taught. Our children will soon learn from our behavior how important school is to us. Finding ways to please the one we love is a delight, not a burden. Now let's have some questions on the thought of vision. This one you don't have to answer, but on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being very supportive, where is your personal vision? What is your personal vision for the Christian Day School? Just think about that. You don't have to answer that one. But I do expect lots of input from you, because I see lots of people here that can talk. Another one I was thinking, when school-related activities infringe on your personal agenda, how do you react? How should you react? Just have some thoughts. In a group this large, maybe if you raise your hand, we'll avoid confusion. So raise your hand if you have any thoughts on what your reaction, how do you react when school-related activities infringe on your personal agenda? How should we react? Yes?
I think we should evaluate what's more important.
We should evaluate what's more important, yes. Anything else? There was another hand back here. Yes.
I was going to say that how we react and how we should react is not always the same. But something that has helped me is that just relax and restate. Let the most important thing go first, and the blessing is ours far more than it was to about me.
Thank you. Yes?
Our attitude will also spread to our children's attitude. We're probably not anyone pleased to see the day after we begin, is what we as wives are. But if we can be cheerful about it, it will also help them to be happy.
Okay. Let's speak up so everyone can hear. That was good. I have a problem repeating a message. That's how I am in Sunday school, too, repeating an answer. But our children will catch our attitude, and they're probably not happy to see Daddy go away again either. So yes, what more is caught than taught. Again, this one doesn't really need an answer, but when have you last thanked God for the privilege we have in Canada to have Christian Day Schools? It's something we need to praise the Lord for. And do you have a question on the vision? Any question to create discussion? Yes?
Yeah.
Yes, that's good. But again, we can, more is caught than taught. Anything else?
What's the best way to create vision in younger people that seem to have the way kind of paved, or, you know, when we think back to parents who actually did put into a lot of hard work, and we've been benefactors of that as well. Mm-hmm. And how can we continue to pass on that vision to the next generation so that...
How can we pass on the vision to the next generation that isn't, I mean, they're maintaining, but how can we pass on the vision? My next question that I have, and I was wanting questions from you too, but would go well with this. What are the dangers, what are some of the dangers our children attending public school today? That might help you think of how can we pass on the vision. What are some of the things we're avoiding by sending our children to Christian day schools and keeping that vision?
The worldly atmosphere of the schools, the cell phones that are restricted, the language, just in general, I think. I went to a public school, but it wasn't as bad as it is.
Yes?
Just from my experience, my sister is 5 years older than I am, and I learned a lot more in public school than she did. So her children were still in public school when we had this conversation, and I explained to her what I had learned. She's like, what? And she was really amazed from 5 years. Now, I haven't been in school, I don't know how many years old, but at least 20 or more than 20, because we've been married 25 years.
Okay.
But anyways, what is out there today is going to be a lot worse than what it was then. And that in itself, communicating that with her, she took her children out of public school, put them in private school. And now today, one of her children is in the church.
Praise the Lord.
How much do we share? Like, I don't think we have to go into detail. There has to be some teaching. Because you're not going to realize that children that have been brought up in Christian day school, they're not going to realize what they're spared from. So my question is, how much do you share? Like, I don't think you should go into detail, but to what extent do you help them understand what they're spared of?
It's true. How much should we go into detail to show the next generation what they've been spared of? Well, we all know that, plainly speaking, that the sex education in schools today is just awful. We just shudder to think of our children even hearing it. The sports, if they are into sports in school age, it's going to carry on. If not physically, it's sure going to be followed mentally. And that can become an idol. There's a lot of things. If someone has another thought.
I just heard recently that grade one students in a public school are learning to use computers.
Yes, yes, everything computers. And another thing is their education itself. They don't fail them anymore. They're just pushed through and kept with their age. Maybe they have their own special curriculum, maybe. But they can go to high school, apparently, and barely be able to read. And that's not what we want for our children either. That's a waste of time. So we should be really thankful when we have one-to-one. Like, if your child really has a problem, your school board will even provide a special education teacher. And that's more than we could ever hope for in the public school. So thank the Lord for that. My next section is on gifts. We had some good thoughts on that already. And God has set some in the church. And one of them in the list is called helps. Are we helps? In some recent sermons and Bible topic meetings, I was impressed by how much interest God had in the building the tabernacle by Moses. and the temple in Solomon's reign. They used the best of materials, an abundance of gold, intricate carvings, thousands of workers were working at it, supervisors, it's like a school board, countless sacrifices, and at the same time, our all-knowing God knew this, that Solomon's temple would eventually be destroyed so completely that there'd hardly be a stone left upon the other one. Twice, actually. And in Exodus 36, Moses called every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, cunning, and understanding to know how to work all manner of workmanship for the service of the sanctuary. Even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And the people willingly brought stuff sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Isn't that how we should be? Even today, God sets men up to do his work. And how much more is God interested in eternal souls? The hearts of men as his temple today. God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, ye are the temples of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And God wants us to use good building material and start with our young children. Our school children today are the church of tomorrow, the bride of Christ, part of the bride of the Christ that Jesus will return for. I know this dates me, but the grade 9 and 10 students I well remember, they are now school parents, and some are also school board members. And looking back over 10 years seems to be such a short time. Time goes faster and faster, it seems, and hindsight is easier than foresight or vision. So I encourage young parents to raise your children for the Lord very young. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And missionaries around the world have learned to make a breakthrough with Christianity through the children. It doesn't take long for children to grow up. And right now in India, there was this remote village and they were illiterate. They started a school there to teach the children how to read so that the children could read the Bible to their parents. Instead of starting their mission with parents, start it with the children. And there are many more similar stories of starting with children on the mission field. As we work together to this end, we will be reminded that we have different gifts. Romans 12 has some teaching on gifts. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every member one of another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Then it goes on to mention some. And it requires a diversity of gifts or talents to keep a church and school and family marriage or marriage operating smoothly. Yes, we can reflect on our strengths and talents, but God, give God the glory for that. But also recognize that there are areas that we may not be as gifted in. Weaknesses are not completely negative. If you were blessed with all the talents, gifts, you would burn out. But instead, it makes a channel to allow others to assist us and strengthen us when we work as a team. That thought just came out of the Ontario Farmer this week. I liked it. Of course, it caught my eye because it was part of my subject. So a small example of this. We school board wives got together a friendship quilt for a quitting teacher. Probably more of you do that. Now, I have no gift for putting fabrics and colors together. Absolutely, almost none. Maybe two colors, but no more than that. So I gladly drove them to the store, and with admiration, I watched and listened to their plans. So we need to recognize our gifts and allow others to fill in where we don't have it. And we also need to keep a balance with our time and talents. we can't gad about doing good elsewhere and neglect our family. Recognize who you are. Some sweet, laid-back ladies need to learn how to schedule their time so they aren't always showing up late and undone or depending on others to fill in their gaps. But some more aggressive ladies need to look in the mirror and say, "You're a control freak," and take steps to hand God the controls. Recognize your personal tendencies to work to achieve balance. So it'd be nice if we could just put ourselves right in the middle there. But we have to work with ourselves. Family time is important and rest is too, but are you known as a flexible, sharing, caring person? And when something needs to be done for school, do people ask you to help? Or are you known as inflexible? Always have a reason for why it doesn't work this time. Seeking to please ourselves tends to alienate us from God and others and places excessive value on earthly comforts. We always want to look after our own stuff first and pleasures, if you have hobbies you'd rather do. The things that please the Father are usually the things that generate a good relationship with others. It's beautiful to observe noble people nurturing their relationship with others. It's nice to admire people that seem to do so well. I do lots of that. And in turn, nurturing their relationships with God. We've all experienced the blessing of caring friends who put relationships above their own schedules and sometimes help us. What are some gifts that school board wives might have? What do you admire in another school board wife that blesses you? Yes? Yes. Have you ever considered as a school board member to be a helper, help the teacher? I know that our school life is varied. As many people as are here, there's probably that many variations of how things function. What are some things that you have admired? And yes? Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. I admire how some can relate to the teacher or other parents. Yes?
I think too, the ability to accept each one for what they are and to bring out the best in them. Not to put them down, but to bring out the best in them. I think that's important
in Christian school. Okay, bring out the best of everyone and admire or we are what we are, admire what. Nothing? Anything else? You don't have to answer this one, but what is your action when others plainly are more talented than you? What happens in your heart? You don't have to answer that one. If you have any thoughts on it, you may share. This one is something that comes close to school board members' wives, though. Or I sure found it was. When someone does a less than perfect job, might be cleaning or painting, etc., at school, how can we manage our feelings? Like, why couldn't they do better than this? I mean, what is going on here? Like, how do you manage your feelings then? What should you be? That's the opposite of admiring somebody's good points. I mean, then you have to put up with some of their bad points too. Yes? Okay, be thankful you don't have to do everything. It's better than it was, okay? Sometimes you have to just think, well, it was better than it was. Okay, any other thought on that? I'll carry on. The next part is called sipping up. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door on my lips. Something a school board wives have to do. Speaking wrongly is bad, but so is not speaking up when we should. And we need God's help and wisdom to know the difference. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When our thoughts are under Christ's control, it also controls our speech, helps. Gracious speech is important for all Christian women, but especially important when our husbands are serving in the public eye of the community. We can build or destroy our husband's effectiveness by the way we talk, and it certainly takes longer to build up a good reputation of being confidential than it does to wipe away years of carefulness with a few idle remarks. As wives, we should each be our husband's confidant. He should be able to speak to us, tell us. He needs to be free to be the person God made him without worrying about school information becoming public knowledge through his wife. School board members hear things about bad conduct, academic struggles, embarrassing incidents of other people's children, and negative things about other school parents even. Things like that should never be repeated or spread around. When we care about others and their feelings, this would not be so, will not be so difficult. We may be in the know, but maybe we shouldn't be if this causes us to fret and stew. Then your husband maybe shouldn't tell you everything, but we may be in the know about tidbits that would supplement gossip we hear. It's important that school board wives do not repeat idle gossip or unnecessary details to others. Do not talk about plans that aren't finalized. This spreads fast, especially through the children, and causes confusion when the facts are changed. Example, school trips or something, many things. Hence, sometimes mothers will come to you for more information on some situation going on at school. Sometimes, ever so nicely, they want you to side with them against the teachers or the school board. You have to guard against that. Develop the habit of praying often and sending up quick prayers, right, for wisdom, even during the conversation. And if you don't feel good or right about saying something, what's the best thing? Don't say it. That's safe. You never regret that. Be friendly and gracious to all, and especially learn from women who speak wisely, mind their own business, and have a relationship with God that affects their everyday living. That is an important part of being a school board's wife, sipping up. Has anyone got an example of when not to speak? We covered a few. Any other things pop into your mind? Yes, when they're asking for teachers. Not until it's final should you spread around who the teacher will be, not who they ask. Anything else pop into your head? Yes?
Sure.
My first thought would be, no, that's not proper. You all agree with that? How does it make the mother feel? And the teacher would think, well, what's it your business? But this is maybe a harder question. What, how about times we should speak up and we remain quiet? Does anything pop into your head about that?
I think especially if we had an experience similar and we don't say anything and we don't say what we learned or what we did to help her out.
Okay. Very good. Some of these questions might put you on the spot. We are often one of two kinds. When things happen, we either get upset quickly or we get upset later. We get upset later and slowly burn about it. When we hear or things happen, it's just life. What can we what can help in these times? I think we just need to recognize who we are. Yes, Nancy.
I think we should remember that it is God's work and that we probably, in a lot of cases, are not personally responsible for the thing that might be upsetting us. And committing it to the Lord is probably the best thing.
Yes, very good. Committing it to the Lord. Praying for the situation. And our next part here is about the help meets. Pray for our husbands. The church announcement that pray for the school board meeting Monday evening, it takes on a new meaning. When it's your husband that attends and faces problem solving and mending relationships, etc., you really hope people do pray. Make sure your husbands have a quiet and privacy while on the phone with school business. It's a little easier with cell phones. They can go wherever, but that is a part of our wives' jobs. And teach the children to respect that in the homes. And if your husband has a faculty meeting every week or so, arrange maybe to send a treat or coffee along for the teachers. And I should have done better than that. I see others doing way better than that, but better than me. That's just special, little touches. I know one very generous chairman, he gave the teachers his credit card and told them to go out for supper. That one always stuck in my mind as being wonderful. Okay, let's not have such a strong opinion about school matters as to influence your husband's discussion at meetings and that he's almost expressing your thoughts. Here's a humorous saying. The husband shouldn't say at the meeting, my wife says this and my wife says that. Because though his wife is the rose of his life, she can be a thorn to other men on the school board. I like that. Someone just told me that a couple weeks ago. Find out as a helper if he was assigned to do some job, like repair work or like another desk, etc. And don't nag, but if possible, offer your help. Make a list, make a note. I don't know if that works in your house, but we use it a lot. And this should be balanced without being interfering. When school board needs to meet with teachers after school, maybe don't expect him to drive school children, too. It's not appropriate to have children tearing around and having a meeting. Take time to visit with the teachers, especially the lady teachers, and listen to their life experiences. Don't just talk about your children when you're there. Have a heart-to-heart. Build a relationship and a friendship and get to know them well. Invite them, teachers, for supper. Maybe take in supper at a parent-teachers meeting evening. Invite them for Sunday dinner. I have a question. What might a teacher, especially a lady teacher, appreciate from a school board member's wife? Do you have any thoughts on that? I didn't have an answer to that. Yes? You can picture that, a young girl teacher being intimidated by the chairman. And true, she might share more with you or something with you that she can't with the chairman. But that needs to be addressed. Anything else? Teachers can sense if we're behind our husbands or not. Okay, another thing for school board wives is visit school, but don't form concrete opinions from a half-hour visit and taking home a negative report. You don't know everything in a half an hour, I'm sure. That's my own experience. Don't believe every tale your school children bring home. And base that as a problem you need to address in school. There's usually two sides to a story. School board wives, that's real. Your children come home with a story. And how do we deal with it? And this goes for all school parents. If something really unfair happens to your child, help your child through this without turning them against school. And forgive and go on. Life is sometimes very unfair and unchangeable. Okay, help meet questions. How can we make it easier for husbands to get to the school board meeting? Yes?
I'm a board member's wife, and a teacher's wife, so finish the chores.
Finish the chores, yes. That's mine. Not so much now, our children are older. Yes? Have supper on time. Maybe earlier, yes. Don't come home from all day shopping and I don't even know what's for supper and, oh yeah, we've all been there. But try not to make a habit of it. Keep a good schedule, so make it easier for him to come and to go and come back home in a hassle-free environment. Yes, you had a hand up. Yes, remind them. Be a reminder. They need that. Definitely. Have the vehicle filled with gas. Good one. Don't come home from shopping with this much gas and then, oh yeah, van has no gas. Have the keys and the phones on hand. Clothes on hand. How can we be a helper when they come home from the meeting? Yes.
For me, the white woman is to be ready to listen to what he wants to talk about. When I would rather, I don't want my mind cluttered in any more than that. I don't want to talk at night. I've got to accept that. He needs to understand that sometimes he can deal with that.
Very good. Yes. Okay. If it's late, don't start discussing. Wait till tomorrow if he needs to, because he does need to wind down. You know how that is. You can't rehash the meeting all over with your wife and then expect to sleep. You know, it's so true. But then sometimes maybe you need to wake up because he wants to talk, like we share. Yes. Don't discuss the meeting in front of who?
Children.
Yes. Respect his paperwork and his notes. Make sure they don't go into the recycling and stuff like that. I'm always in trouble about those things. I'm cleaning up, and I don't like clutter, so I get into trouble sometimes about that. Does your husband's appearance matter on going to an after-school meeting? They're not dressed up in their suits then, because it's just they're meeting with the teachers, right? It's not a school board meeting. It's just like a faculty meeting. Does his appearance matter? Yes, it does. In my experience, someone, well, anyway, straight from the barn, there was evidence on the boots. That's not good. Any other thoughts on those? Nancy. Right? You're boarding a teacher or teacher's daughters, yes. 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 Be discreet. That was it's very stressful to search for and call and interview new teachers, and worse, not rehiring teachers. And it's stress to hear and consider many opinions about teachers and school problems. So what can school board members' wives do to be helpful? There's really only one answer. Pray for them. Sometimes the best thing. And as helpmeets, I have this little poem I'd like to read. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to smile and be nice when we are called to sacrifice. It's not always easy to put others first, especially when tired or feeling our worst. It's not always easy to do the Father's will. It wasn't so easy to climb Calvary's hill. But we as his children should learn to obey, not seeking our own, but seeking his way. It's not always easy to fight the good fight, but it's always good and it's always right. And we can be a hindrance. How can we be a hindrance? I don't have a lot on that because that's such a negative thing. I think we should focus more on the positive things. But we can be a hindrance in our speech and an uncaring attitude and being too nosy, like too inquisitive into school business when it's not our responsibility. And then when you're finally off the school board, whew, it's not that bad. There's lots of joy in the journey. But then be cautious about interfering with the next school board. That's a point that we need to remember. We need to be happy to give practical advice and information when asked. The school board might often come back and ask you, how did you do this? Let them do their job their way. This is school member. These are for the wives. And we had lots of discussion by Peter Sayre about the roles within the school board, and this applies to the wives too. It does in our setting. Does it in yours? Put up your hand if you kind of matched Peter Sayre, if your situation matches how Peter Sayre presented it. Does the roles of the school board? Put up your hand if that kind of, yes. Well, the school board's wives, they do have roles too. Often it's the chairman's wife that makes the cleaning schedules and plans the gifts, example quilts, calls to organize events, example birthday parties, hot lunch schedules. It's often the secretary's wife. She can assist in any way. She can help with anything to do in the board work or ask to. But she does have one thing that the other school board members' wives don't. She has to keep the papers of his orderly and safe, store boxes. One secretary's wife had to store a stack of school boxes in their bedroom while their house was upside down with renovations. So they do have that responsibility to keep the paperwork where it should be. Don't throw it out. The trustee's wives, they keep cleaning supplies in good order and on hand. Is that your responsibility? It is in our situation. Keeping the cleaning supplies in good order and on hand. If you run out of something, you call the trustee's wife. You can ask the teachers if they have something that need to be fixed when you're cleaning school at night and report it to your husband. there's some maintenance. And this is one thing that I feel is important as a school board's wife. It is now, when you're on the school board, clean up the corners. That's your right and your duty. Get rid of junk. You gotta be a little bit careful that you don't throw out something good, but that's the time to do it. Do some house cleaning. You know, a school is a lot like a house, and things pile up and it makes a disorganized mess. Or doesn't that happen to your school? Yes. Now let's consider some practical parts of this job. We're running out of time. Well, then I'll just read some things. Cleaning, make charts and how to have the rags washed and the mop heads, how to dispose of garbage and recycling, post signs so it's clear which cleaners to use and keep things organized, clear out the junk, I said. Post who to contact when supplies run out. Get charts to parents in September with the schedule. Don't depend to hear from cleaning moms when supplies run out. Check yourself when you're driving school or Wednesday night evenings, if your church is at school. Buy quality stuff. School is very rough and tough. And keep a book and a record so that you can pass this information on to the next one, or that you can go back and refer to it. Keep your receipts organized for refunds when you buy stuff. Give lots of notice for a big summer cleaning. Pair up young mothers with older mothers when they're cleaning. Sometimes the girls come along and help babysit the little children. Hot lunch. Have extra dishes on hand even though the children are supposed to bring us some. Plan the schedule. Well paired again with older and younger. Do you have crockpot days? Finding someone every Friday for a little bit to supply hot food in a crock pot for the classroom. It's a break for the school moms and the change for the teachers and children. I'm sure there's some today here. We'll thank them for their work today. Birthday parties. That's the chairman's wife's job, is to organize two or three moms to bring a party. Not a surprise party. They upset the teacher's schedule and children look forward to things. But go ahead, make it a surprise party. That was just a personal opinion. Snack. I like to put them in small bags to go. You know, there's always those pokey eaters they never get done with their party. So if you take it in the small bags, you can send it along, especially if you have this party 20 minutes before dismissal. Help clean up. And the new ideas, we don't have time, I'm so sorry. I have to tell you this story. One day, some mothers planned a surprise birthday party. It was a big mistake, but it's funny. Before entering the classroom, they lit the candles on the cake right under a smoke detector. And the smoke alarms went off, and what excitement they caused. A fire drill, and the children, the school emptied. June picnic. Think ahead. Speak to other school board wives, even the ones a year before. Keep record from year to year how many cups, drink, ice cream, coffee, perks, etc. Are you responsible for games? School board. Maybe not. Do your best. Our custom is to have ice cream treats in the afternoon, so for a variety, you're going to have cones, soft serve machine, dishes of ice cream bars. But something I wanted to say for June picnic, be prepared for emergencies. Injuries, they're almost guaranteed to happen. Keep an eye on the other children. More opportunities to climb there and unsafe things and roads. One of our picnics, a man was taken to the hospital with an ambulance. He was injured in the ball game. It was a concussion. At least twice I remember very serious nosebleeds from getting hit by baseballs. I remember a badly skinned finger from the tug of war. They didn't quit. Just tore the skin off. There's so many things that can happen. So you should know first aid, and you should have it along, especially if you don't have a Harvey Bowman in your picnic. All right, year-end gifts, quilts. Don't put off till tomorrow what you should do today. Start early with those quilts if you do them. They're expecting it, if that's your custom. Teach more than 2 years, you get a quilt. You can consult with colors. And there's other gifts. And the presentation of them, do it graciously. You'll be surprised how self-conscious you are when you get up there and hand the quilt to the teacher. Be prepared for that. Christmas caroling, prepare for noisy bus rides. This might not be your customs, but I have a story about that. One year it was really quite stormy and the pupils on the bus, they went up the road half a mile and there was a new four-way stop at the first corner. And before the stop sign, there was a sign that says, new four-way stop ahead. So the bus stopped at that stop sign. It was quite stormy. And then he started up and just turned into the ditch. The poor man, he cried pretty much. He did. They had sent their best driver because of the poor weather. And so the children had to run back to school, and they were lightly dressed because, you know, you're going Christmas caroling. I just thought I had to tell you that story. Do you do candy bags at Christmas? Include something healthy like peanuts and oranges. And then plan some extra for the school board. They want some too. Arbor Day, there's lots of fires and sticks there. Keep cheerful. It's not always easy, but be helpful. The teachers appreciate it. School trips, you might go to the parliament, or there's lots of school trips. Think of extras, take a thermos of water, and be responsible with other people's children. Be friendly but firm. Children get carried away, don't they? And then there's farewell parties. And I'm so sorry that I'm not getting any input from you, but it's time to go up. So in closing, God bless you all as you support your husband, whatever his calling. And I want to give recognition and credit to a book called Serving Together. It's about a teacher's wife, and it applies to any wife, or it says, and other Christian ministries. So it's for you too on the school board. I encourage you to read it. Some parts were taken verbatim and some revised to fit the school members' wives. So give your best. And it's the hand we clasp with an honest grasp that gives a hearty thrill. It's the good we pour into other lives that come back to our own to fill. The dregs we drain from another's cup that make our own seem sweet, and the hours we give to another's need that makes our life complete. It's the burdens we help another bear that makes our own seem light. It's the danger seen for another's feet that shows us the path to right. It's the good we do each passing day with a heart sincere and true in giving the world your very best. Its best will return to you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.